And so I went down and stayed 19 weeks that year with Brother Bodorf, and we had a wonderful time in the meantime, before that, and in between the meetings, I had gone over to Indianapolis. And I was in Indianapolis preaching with Brother Jim Nipper at the Empire Theater. And while I was preaching there, the Lord was blessing, and the majority of the people attending belonged to the American Holiness Society, the Christian Missionary Alliance, and the Pentecostalists, and the Nazarene. And Brother Nipper said, "Did you ever see such great zeal?" He said, "Why is it that the evangelical grace people do not have the zeal and the enthusiasm?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "They'd be a wonderful people if we'd just get them delivered from some of their teaching and bring them out into the gospel grace." He said, "Let's do our best." I said, "All right." He said, "I'd like to have you get up a message and tell them why tongues not God's message and program for today." I said, "All right." I was stopping at the Washington Hotel, and I went to my room, and I prayed, and I got up a message on three reasons why tongues ceased when Paul reached Rome. Well, I went back and delivered that message there at the Empire Theater, and I'll never forget, the next night, a Pentecostalist preacher came to me, and he said, "Brother, that argument last night was unanswerable. I believe you gave the truth." He says, "I want you to know that I'm giving up Pentecostalism in the tongue." And he did. Well, about 5 years after that, I was in Austin here, near Chicago. And I was there to hear a Plymouth Brethren speak in the Brethren Hall. And a young, he wasn't then, about 36, had a lovely wife. He came up and he patted me on the shoulder and he said to his wife, "Here's the man that led me out of Pentecostalism 5 years ago down at Indianapolis." And when he came out, I didn't know anything about him, but the other man gave it up. And then he came back two nights later there in the Empire Theater, and he said to me, "Brother O'Hare, I went home and did some thinking myself last night." And he said, "This is my conclusion." He said, "I found out this, that the same three reasons that you gave that proved that tongues ceased with the close of the book of Acts, he says, I can prove by the same three arguments that water baptism ceased at the same time." Oh, I says, "You're mistaken." "Well," he said, "you asked me to be a Berean, didn't you?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I was honest, wasn't it?" "Yes." He said, "I had the courage of my convictions, and I found out I was wrong. Will you do that same thing?" So I went to the Washington Hotel that night. I took out my Bible, and I put down those three reasons, and I studied and studied until after 2 o'clock in the morning. And I said, "That man is absolutely right." And you find this, in studying the Bible, I presume you've learned that the water baptism and the Lord's Supper are never connected. They are never mentioned as sacraments. And we remember the Lord at the Lord's table as a memorial. "As oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you show forth the Lord's death till he shall come," or "till he shall have come." But I said that signs and visions and tongues and angelic visitations, all of these things are inseparably connected with water baptism. And I found out this. There is not one mention of a record of water baptism where we do not find with it, linked with it, something else of a Jewish ceremony or a vision, or speaking in tongues, or divine, what we call divine healing, miraculous sign healing. Everywhere you have water baptism in the same connection therewith, you have a sign, some kind of a sign. And any exegesis or any intelligent principle of progressive revelation or dispensationalism that will eliminate the signs must of necessity deliver us or rule out water baptism. The last recording of water baptism in the Bible is found in the 19th chapter of Acts, if indeed those disciples were rebaptized. And after that, we find the Apostle Paul laying hands on those people, and they prophesied and spoke with tongues, and then immediately it says, Paul, God performed special miracles by the hands of Paul, and handkerchiefs and aprons were brought to him for his blessing, and the demons were cast out by these blessed handkerchiefs and aprons, and the sick were healed. We have that, then we come to the 20th chapter, and we find out that Paul was able to raise the dead. Now, if we speak of the 28th chapter of Acts as the 28th chapter of Matthew as the Great Commission. Certainly the 10th chapter of Matthew was a Great Commission when the Lord said to the 12, go not in the way of the Gentiles, go to the house of Israel, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, raise the dead. And the same Lord Jesus that told the 12 apostles to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost told them to raise the dead. And they went forth and the signs followed them. And I presume you've noticed this, that about every sign or miracle that was performed by Peter, the Lord permitted Paul to duplicate that miracle. Now, Brother Baker, getting back to the ministry that I spoke of at the Gospel Center in St. Louis, I'll never forget the first Sunday I was there. They had a big burlap curtain hanging between the front part, the back part of that large room there. There were about 65 or 66 people there, and most of them were women who were way past middle age, and they had just recently received great blessing in a Pentecostalist meeting there. Well, when I walked in, I said, I don't know what we're going to do here, but they asked me to teach the book of Acts, and I taught the book of Acts, and we saw that there was going to be a division there, but we kept going, and the first thing you know, we had about half of them brought over into the message of the grace of God, and the report went out, and there was a wonderful Bible class down there. It had remained faithful to the grace message. They had once been under the teaching of William R. Newell. And one of the ladies came, and she went back and told the class, she said, there's a man over there at the Gospel Center now that's teaching very much like Mr. Newell. He's teaching the Pauline Gospel of Grace. Well, you know what happened? Within about 4 months, we had about 200 people there in our Bible class at the Gospel Center. And then they paid off the indebtedness, and God began to bless. I have a letter in my file from Mr. Bodarf, and he said, humanly speaking, there would not be a Gospel Center here in St. Louis if it hadn't been for your ministry. But after that, Brother Bodarf turned away from the teaching, the distinctive ministry of Paul, and some people got in there, and although he stood for the one baptism, then he went back on it, and there we had to sever our relations. But he has done a wonderful work there. And I might say this, when I was teaching at Indianapolis, after I gave the message, three reasons why tongues ceased when Paul reached Rome, and the Pentecostalists challenged me to study and apply the same principle, three reasons why water baptism ceased when Paul reached Rome, and I was giving the message on the signs and visions, After I got through, a man walked up, and he said to me, "Why, here's a book that teaches almost what you teach." And that book was the book by A.E. Bishop, who had been a missionary in Central America. It was entitled Signs and Tongues and Visions, Not God's Order for Today. And I was particularly interested in it because it had an endorsement on the front page by Dr. C.I. Scofield, for whom I had great respect. Dr. Scofield was brought to the Lord by two of the elders in the church where I was a member, where I was associated, the Washington Compton Church in St. Louis, that later on became the Brooks Memorial Church. And Dr. Scofield was well thought of there. I always thank God for the men that who meant so much to me in my ministry when I was first saved. Leon Tucker. Not many months after I was saved, I received his little booklet entitled Wonderful Words of Truth. You remember the one? Then I had Dr. I.M. Haldeman, How to Understand the Bible. Then I was for many months under Harris Gray, the pastor of Washington Compton. These men of God who really knew the gospel of the grace of God. When I saw Dr. Scofield's name, that he endorsed this book of Mr. Bishop, I didn't know very much about Mr. Bishop, but I read it. And it's a very interesting book, and every Christian ought to read it, especially right now when there is the wave of fanaticism and healing all over this country and in other lands today. It's a wonderful book. In that book, you know, Dr. Haldeman, our Dr. Scofield endorses the teaching there of Mr. Bishop. And in that teaching, he says that God did not start a new church after the 28th of Acts, but God did bring in a new order, that the sign gifts of the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians were operative only during the period covered by the book of Acts. And then he endorsed there the teaching of Sir Robert Anderson, in which Sir Robert Anderson says that our program today and the way we walk today is not by sight but by faith, according to the words of the Lord, who spoke to Thomas when he said, "Thomas, thou hast seen, blessed is the man who hath not seen and yet hath believed." And then we want to thank God that he went on with this message. And I want to say this: sometimes we're called Bullingerite. Now, I've read many of the writings of Dr. Bullinger, but I want to say to you that what I believed in really the Pentecostal preacher who challenged me, and the book of A.E. Bishop is what got me into the message that I am now proclaiming, that you love and all of us love, that's being taught here in the Milwaukee Bible College. And I did not get one line of it, did not know one thing that Dr. Bullinger taught at that time. Later on, I read some of his writings, many of his writings, and I know wherein we disagree with his teaching. We do not teach that a new church began and a new body after the 28th of Acts. Neither do we believe his argument that the concerning soul sleeping or the destruction of or annihilation of the soul. Neither do we believe his argument concerning the Lord's Supper having been done away with because it's mentioned in connection with the blood of the New Covenant. It is to be deplored that some of the brethren who started off with us in what we call the Pauline truth and emphasize the dispensation of grace of God and to show the principle that the Bible must be interpreted and understood and applied, the truth in the light of the truth, which the Apostle Paul said was committed unto him by revelation, which we speak of as the dispensation of the mystery. I'm sure, Brother Becker, you remember the day we met at this plain some years ago and decided we needed a place, some kind of a Bible school, where we could train young men. And we decided to call it the Milwaukee Bible Institute and to come here and buy some property. And, you know, we had very little to begin with. And again, we thank God for Brother Houston and what he meant to us in those days when we first started out, and for the friends that were so gracious and kind to let us have the money. And I'm sure that you and I, after these several years, thank God for the Milwaukee Bible Institute, now called the Milwaukee Bible College. And we thank God for those who've gone out. And perhaps you do not remember, but about 27 years ago, 19 or 20 of us sat in the auditorium of the North Shore Church, and we were discussing the truth as it was revealed in the bishop book, Signs, Tongues, and Vision, Not God's Order for Today, and what Dr. Schofield said there, that a new order began after the 28th of Acts, after Paul reached Rome, and then the miraculous sign gifts ceased, and a new order came in the dispensation of the grace of God. And we have reason, I think, to be encouraged when we stop to think today that perhaps 30,000 people and about more than 30 assemblies now are standing for this wonderful truth. We know the harm that's been done by those who went into what is called hyper-dispensationalism, ultra-dispensationalism, and we have to take a stand against that just as much as we do against the teaching that Pentecostalism and that the signs and the visions and all the miracles and those things would still be in the church today and being practiced and exercised, all the gifts by members of the body of Christ, that we had the same faith and were as spiritual as the people who lived in the first Christian century. As we think of what has been accomplished here at Milwaukee Bible College and how we thank God for the wonderful, gifted spiritual teachers that we have who really know how to rightly divide the word of truth, I'm sure we think of that verse of Scripture in the book of Isaiah where it says, the lame take the praise. And we think of that as we think of what is being accomplished in Belgian Congo through the missionaries under WGT, and how we do thank God for the many friends that make that testimony possible over there. I think it's remarkable. We could do many more things, of course, if the people had more of a vision. But when we look back and see what God has been able to do, how we do thank God for the men on our board and for the faithful friends who have stood by as we've carried on the work over in Africa. And we can look to the Lord, I'm sure, knowing that there is a sense in which we can say, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know that this refers to the matter of financial health, but we do look to him, and we thank God for WGT, that we have this wonderful ministry over there in Belgian Congo. We're trusting that other missionaries will volunteer to go out and that the money will come and we'll be able to send them there. Now, I hope, Brother Baker, as you read this, you keep in mind that I've been teaching here 3 or 4 hours a day, including today, this morning, by 3.5 hours. Yesterday, I thought 3.5 hours, I had to go back to the city of Chicago for a funeral, and I thought I'd rest going down. I sat in the diner car, and a man opened the way, and I talked to him for 1 hour about the Lord, and I had thought the night before here, Tuesday, at the Fundamental Bible Church, and so when you read this, just remember that this is after all these hours of talking and teaching. And I do pray that what we've been able to do this week in teaching the Word of God to the students here, that it will they will accomplish God's purpose, and we have accomplished something here in giving out God's word. And we ought to pray one for another, for everyone who is with the Grace Gospel Fellowship and other men who are preaching the gospel of grace of God. Many of them are having a very difficult time. Many of them are being persecuted. We know this message is not a popular one. We remember how the Apostle Paul, when he said to pray always with all prayer and supplication for all saints, he said, and pray for me also, that I may open my mouth boldly and preach the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in bond. Then in the fourth chapter, that's in the sixth chapter of Ephesians there, the 18th to the 21st verses. Then in the fourth chapter of Colossians, he prayed that we might all pray for open doors. Then in the first chapter of Ephesians, we are to give thanks to God and ask for the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and the revelation of Him, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, we might know what the hope of His calling, what is the hope of His calling, the riches of His inheritance in the saints, and His mighty power that He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and placed Him at the right hand in heaven, where He said over all things, over all principality and power, and made Him head over all things under the church, which is His body, the filling up of Him that filleth all in all. Now, we haven't any option in the matter. God has given us this light. We'll have to go on teaching this wonderful truth, and it's a real privilege. I do believe, as I've said many times, that this message of the dispensation of the grace of God and the dispensation of the mystery, this distinctive ministry that the Lord gave to and through the Apostle Paul, is the greatest need of this age today. It is the answer, God's answer, to every ism and ill with which the Church of Jesus Christ is afflicted. And it does seem to me that God is going to bring our fundamentalist brethren to their senses with the rod of fanaticism. Everywhere we turn today, people are going back and they're talking about a full gospel. And though they talk about a full gospel, you know that their gospel is not very full, because they pick out a few things and include them in their program, but a full gospel means far more than that. If they're going back to Pentecost, then they ought not only to have their tongues and their signs and their healing and their visions, they should have a kingdom communism and divide their property. They should have angelic visitation, and they should raise the dead and cast out demons, and they ought to be able to go into the hospital where the veterans are, where those that are limbless and are in physical suffering, and they ought to be able to practice what they preach, heal the sick and cleanse the lepers and raise the dead according to their program, which they call their full gospel. Now, not only for that, but for the truth and to understand the Bible and to know how to rightly divide the word of truth. Surely we must interpret and apply and appropriate all scripture in the light of Pauline truth, as we call it, the dispensation of the grace of God and the dispensation of the mystery, which is identical. I mentioned the fact that the first Jew was responsible for my going down to Louisiana where I was saved. Another Jew was responsible, meeting me in San Antonio, responsible for my coming to Chicago, the suburbs of Chicago, in 1917. I intended to come there just for 2 weeks and then go back to San Antonio. And I only went back to San Antonio to close up my business and move the family up to Oak Park. The third Jew was the man who took over my mortgages and everything. The very month that I wanted to go out into the Lord's work, and he relieved me of all that financial burden and that trouble. And then there's another Jew that meant so much to me and has meant and does, but he got me in a lot of trouble. And that fourth Jew was the Apostle Paul. And I believe that with you, that when we want to understand the Bible, we must realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, by special revelation, gave truth to and through the Apostle Paul, called the unsearchable riches of Christ, and that we are to be established by his gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was not made known or was kept secret from the foundation of the world. Mr. Walmsley, the pastor of the Fundamental Bible Church, has invited me to come again for the services of this Thanksgiving, 1955. They asked me last Tuesday when I was speaking for Mr. Holloman's Bible class, how many years, how many Thanksgiving. I think I have missed only one in the past 31 years. It's always been a real privilege to come, and I've always received a blessing. And the Lord willing, I'll be very happy to be here again. And that's about 2 weeks, for today is November the 10th. And we don't know what's going to take place. We do not want to say this or that. But if the Lord will, what we will do. Surely as we see the conditions of this world today, we see there's no hope except the coming of the Lord to put an end to this terrible epidemic of death. Thank God for that wonderful truth. I'm now writing, Brother Baker, my 158th book. I've written 157. The last one I wrote is entitled The All-Sufficient, Much More Abounding Grace of the God of All Grace. I'm writing another one now entitled We Shall Not All Die. We shall not all die. What wonderful truth that is. Surely that's the only thing that will put an end to this terrible epidemic of death. When we stop to think that 100 people die every hour in the United States. Think of that. Or about 10 people drop dead in this country suddenly every hour. And when we think of the statement that God says, he that being often reproved and hardened his neck shall be cut off suddenly, and that without remedy. Surely the people in this country have had the wonderful, wonderful opportunity to hear the gospel of salvation and be saved. And we do not want to try to set any time as to the coming of the Lord, but we do want to remember that we're to come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord, as we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as a sign off, remember those words in which we rejoice. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God.